Let's open our Bibles, Romans chapter 3. Moving right along, as I keep telling the Lord, amen. We've been enjoying how much the Lord loves us as we've gathered here to study, this view or vision of this precious letter to the Romans. And we've seen how the Lord in his faithfulness has laid out very clearly the guilt of man. And we saw that in chapter 1 and chapter 2. We see that man, in his sinful state, not only there, but no way out, so ordered of the Lord, it has to be the blood. Such a perfect plan of God, it must be my son. How beautiful is our God, how wonderful is his plan. The one thing that pleases him is his son. And that's why it's the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And that is so thankful what God has made us in believing him with that precious blood. For now are we the sons of God. Praise the Lord. What a joy and what a beautiful loving God. Savior and by his grace soon coming bridegroom we have. Now going on in chapter 3. Can you imagine? Begins out emphasizing the guilt of man once again. I believe the Lord wants us to really understand the state that we are in without the blood. That there's none righteous, no, not one. There was none that come after him. There's none that seeketh after him. There's none that doeth good. I meet people every day that want to contest that. I meet people every day that want to tell me about what a good person they are. And if God was just and God was fair and God is who God is, there's no way that God could send them to hell. And I said, well, God doesn't send you to hell. You make a choice. God prepared hell, as you know, for those fallen angels. And that was a place for them. God fully knew that there would be ones that would not receive him. But that was not the intent. But he knew it would fill a purpose. Because God does everything with purpose. Always know that. But here we go, and in these first 8 verses, what we find is, he emphasizes here, and I love because it's Paul that's bringing this out, the guilt of the Jew. I think Paul, obviously from where he was from, meaning the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all, God used him in a mighty way to lay out the guilt, if you will, to his brethren, the Jew. And he was very pointed in bringing that fact out. But before we even get through the first 8 verses, the Lord, through Paul, lets us know that the Gentiles not excluded either. We're all guilty. We're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And the conclusion of that thought, we'll go ahead and pick up in verse 9. And we'll begin reading there in the 3rd chapter, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now we're not finished yet. Yeah, we're going to keep going here. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So this leaves no doubt. There's but one way. God's plan, one remedy for sin, his son's offering on the cross. Praise the Lord. And his offering on the cross for us. I was thankful. How sweet. We're in Romans recently, this past week. 2 different ones came into the meeting and both received Jesus Christ as their Savior. It was such a precious time to have the Lord bring that forth. I'm so thankful that especially the one lady who received Christ. She said, I'd been looking and searching for about the past 5 years. I've been in a Mormon church. I've been in a Baptist church. I've been in a Catholic church. She went over and saw the Buddhists. She was going everywhere. And she said, you're the first person that ever sat me down and didn't tell me your opinion. You got the Bible out and showed me the Word of God. And I said, honey, there are times that you might have to witness to someone quickly. Maybe you don't have a Bible with you. I don't know. But I thank the Lord. I want you to see, by the grace of God, your salvation in the Word of God. And to be able to take her to John 3:16 and show her that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved the world. This wasn't a forced deal. This was a plan of God, and it's a plan of love. And then to come over into Romans and to show her these things that we're discussing about, you know, by the works of the law, the works of the flesh, there's no flesh justified in that. We are saved. We are justified by faith, and it's by grace through faith. And we thank God for this and how precious this plan of God is. But see, this plan of God shows us that this offering on the cross for us is the blood. See, there is no remission of sin. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. See, that's why it was such an impactful thing that one of the larger Christian denominations that for many centuries had really preached the Word of God. But they went through their hymnal in the past, 50, 60 years. They removed every hymn about the blood of the Lamb. See, when you take out the blood of the Lamb, you'll have no remission of sin. When you quit preaching about the blood, I'll tell you what, no one's going to get saved. You must preach the truth. There must be that acknowledgement from the very beginning as God dealt with Cain and Abel. Bring me the lamb. Bring me the lamb. That's all that is needed, and that's all that's going to be accepted. All the works of your hands, all the works and the sweat on your brow, all the tilling that you could do on this earth will never be acceptable to God. Doesn't care what your intent of your heart is, the goodness that you thought, how you were going to make someone happy. The only thing that makes God happy is his Son. And that's it. So I'm so thankful. And that's the beautiful thing about his plan. Born again, we're born of him. We have one life. Yes, the very life of his Son, in whom he is well pleased. Sometimes I shake my head and I say, oh Lord, but he loves me because he's my Father. And I thank God how he loves us like that. But see, through his blood, we have his life. By him being made sin for us, praise be to God, we have that wonderful life, that everlasting life of Jesus Christ. And by faith, we believe. As it says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That's Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to what? His mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy, he saved us. Think of that. It was his mercy that did that. That marvelous mercy and grace of God. See, this is required. And this is required for us to know. And I want to set the stage here tonight as we go through these studies of Romans. These are the highlights that get us to really see what God is fostering and what he is planting deep within us here. The required knowledge for the sons of God is to grow up in grace. Is to grow up in grace, not to grow up in works. So many times I see people get saved. They're so thankful for the blood of the Lamb. And then they're going to work for their approval to God. They're going to go out and do. They're going to go out and missions and deeds and all of these different things. The Lord said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You grow in that knowledge. You grow in knowing him. He said that you would know the love of Christ. that you would study to show thyself approved. My goodness, you got so many people out there telling things they don't even know. My kids went to a school, and they pushed the missions, and it's just so sad to me. And I even asked a couple of the people they were going, I said, and just kind of inquiring, because I knew it, and it wasn't to be critical. They couldn't even tell anybody how to get saved. They were saved, thank the Lord, but they were so just such infants in the scripture. I mean, my goodness, you take those little guys in the back row, they'll tell you how to get saved. They'll tell you about the blood of Jesus. They'll tell you about Jesus Christ dying for them, because that's what they learn here at Sunday school. They learn the scriptures, and I'm not ashamed of Christ, the gospel of Christ. We do boast in the Lord. I thank God, and let me tell you something. You'll have confidence when faith gets a hold of your life. It won't be in you, but it'll be in Him. Now, this is what this is. There's no other knowledge or thing that can grow you up but the grace of God. You'll never grow without grace. You could even study the Word of God till you're blue in the face. You could quote scriptures until you couldn't even talk anymore. But I'll tell you what, if you don't know the grace of God, if you don't know truth and love, without love, it profits you nothing. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? If I knew all mysteries, if I had all of that kind of understanding, if I even had faith to move mountains, but I did not have the love of Christ, it profits me nothing. And I'll tell you what, that's what the grace of God is. It's His love. It's His great, great, incredible depth, width, breadth, length of His love. Now, going on verse 19 and 20. Now we know, it says here. We know, this isn't something we doubt, but we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Are you under the law, Christian? No, you're not. You're under grace. Huh? Amen. It saith to them who are under the law. And why? Why does it say to them that are under the law? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. If that's going to be your choice, it's going to stop you. If that's going to be your choice, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a choice of judgment and a judgment of the great white throne of judgment. And at that judgment, there isn't going to be found a one innocent. There won't be. Our judgment, as the Word of God tells us, is the judgment seat of Christ. The sons of God is the judgment seat of Christ. We're being judged for reward. It's so beautiful. In 1 John, why wouldn't we even understand this? As children of God, as the sons of God, born of God, you can't commit sin, neither do you sin. If I'm justified, if I have this life, the new man, what could be judged of guilt? Nothing, because He took it all. He took it all. So the only judging that's being done, amen, is the work of grace. How much grace. We rejoiced in that last week in chapter 2. And God is just continuing to roll this out. How beautiful this is. So it says and concludes in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So here it is. No matter how many millions or the amount of works you could ever do, it'll never save you. The amount of good deeds you could ever do, it'll never justify you. The law had one purpose, and that was to reveal every man's guilt and magnify the one way of redemption, and that is Jesus. And it's perfect, isn't it? Because no one can keep the law. No one has ever kept the law except our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the perfect one. And He fulfilled it. Matter of fact, He fulfilled the entire Word, because He is the Word. And I love, as I said, every jot and tittle, praise His name. All the way down to the vinegar. And those dummies, my goodness, they couldn't even break his bone. Not a bone of his was broken. And yet they tore him up more than any man's flesh had ever been torn. See, that's God. That's God. And I'll tell you what, you get to really trust in God, you're going to really rest in that rocking chair of grace. The sinner can't help do what God, but what God said he'd do. So know that. Know that. By our precious Lord, the law and the ordinances that were against us have been taken out of the way. See, I love that. Read that with me in Ephesians chapter 2. These are things that, thank the Lord, we know. But I'll tell you what, there isn't really any greater rejoicing than what the Lord has finished for me. This precious plan of grace and mercy. It's our song. It's our rejoicing. And in Ephesians 2:15 there, it says, "Oh, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain," what? "One new man, so making peace." See, we're of him. That one new man speaks of the new man that we are of and part of. His body. This is him. This is Christ. And we're of him. Hallelujah. He's in us. Us in Christ. It's marvelous. So in that, now we can freely, freely grow in all that mercy that was poured forth to save us, bestowing so much glory that we can even be clothed with all the riches of his glory, as it says about his vessels of mercy. But see, many people don't want to praise the Lord for that. Can you ever think of a time in your life? I'm sure it wasn't you. But you thought pretty good of you as a Christian, of some of the good things that you did. Come on. You got to grow through that stupidity. You got to grow up through that self-righteousness is what it is. And you realize that, you know, when you start thinking like that, you start smelling, boy, I got a bad B.O. I've got that self-righteous stinky rag B.O. And you don't want that. Matter of fact, I get away from that. And I hang around them vessels of mercy. I love them the best. Praise God. It's amazing how Jesus was drawn to those that knew that they were blind, that they needed to be healed. I sure love him, don't you? Praise God. Now, getting back to chapter 3, verse 21. But now, see, he didn't leave us in that, that dead state, no way, because he's a God about now and about saving. But now the righteousness of God without the law. Isn't that amazing? There went 99% of all the religions that you know on this earth today. The righteousness of God without the law? How many churches have the Ten Commandments sitting right up? Very first thing you see, they just want to show them off. Here you go. I kind of get in there and say, yep, amen. Showed my guilt, bam. But I certainly do not try to live by them. Where there is no law, there is no sin. I know I'm free indeed. And I know it is Christ that works in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. He that is full of grace and truth, who pleased the Father any more than the one that was full of grace and truth? Amen. He pleased the Father always, didn't he? Completely obedient. But he obedient because why? Because of love. I love you, Father. And you love me and your love's in me and I'm in you. And oh, and we love them and that their love would be perfected as ours. Yes. I believe we're getting it. See, it's that life that lives in us. And as it grows and it's fed, it's amazing what happens. There's something in it that grace causes to want to please the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. So it's stated twice in case you miss it. You see what it's saying there? The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Once again, God's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of person. That's unto all. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. We know that. But as it says there, and upon all them that believe. The blood is upon us, praise God. Right there at the Passover. Isn't that something? Here, they're getting ready for all of that. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So, there it is. Now, for there is no difference, it says. All right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I mean, if you just read those three or four verses, there's, why are you going to argue? What are you doing? I always am thankful when I get to do a service every once in a while for some of my relatives on my daddy's side. Centuries and centuries in Catholicism. They always know what's coming. We're going to Romans. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. We start in the 20th verse. We say, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there are no flesh. And you just start to see this twitching. And then you get down here, and then it's all by faith, justified freely, by faith, by the grace of God. Turning green by the end of the show. You know, it's just amazing. But, you know, I'm thankful. And it's not to provoke. It's to love. Love them. And I can't tell you how much I love them. I love them so, so much. And just, Lord, help them to get free indeed in that precious blood of Jesus. But see, we see here that it's righteousness without the law. We're justified freely by his grace. By his stripes we are healed. See, that stripe of death healed us. Hallelujah. All by faith. So, I love this. All of these things are stated in Romans. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Elect of God, here you are. He's the justifier. Oh, praise his name. I thank the Father. Don't you mess with my kids. I like that. And we don't want to go that way. But see, how dare us to judge one another? How dare we would judge one another? And I mean that. We understand when our brethren or ourselves or whatever are taken up in a fault. We get that. But what does it say? Ye that are spiritual, restore. Restore. You don't hammer. You don't just to try to, you know, put somebody down and destroy them. Thanks be to God, he doesn't do that with me. See, when we have been made the very righteousness of God in Christ, you better think about that. You better really, really think about that. And I love how the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we were talking about this, I can't remember, either a Wednesday or a Sunday. I love that. All things are lawful. You have to understand that. I understand all things aren't expedient. I get that. They're not all profitable for me to go do, but you have to know that all things are lawful for you. See, where there is no law, there is no sin. You have to understand how free indeed you are. You'll never embrace grace in the highest without really understanding. And I'm saying, when you hear that, if you're cringing at all, you can come right up here right now and start praying. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but to really seek the Lord about it. By the grace of God, be healed of this. You're free. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. There's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And I don't care if my brother or sister in Christ wants to put it on me. That's a lie. That is a lie. And that's how you'll grow. So, how does Christ see us? He sees us that we've been made for him. I thank the Lord. He tells us that we are nothing but the new man in him. We just read that, amen? We just read that about the new man. Nothing but his righteousness. Christ liveth in me. And I pray we get that. That you love one another as I have loved you. See, that's when that'll happen. That's when we really take that. That we're of him. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 25. It says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin, that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Oh, I love how exact that is. It's not just faith about something. It's specific. He's the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. No other name. No other name. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But the law of faith. I love it. Oh, hallelujah. And we're going to be in next week too. The faith of our father Abraham. Don't think this is something new. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Faith, he believed God. It has not changed. It's the same. And I thank the Lord for that, that precious, wondrous faith. But see, the law now is faith. And it makes it very clear here, it's not works. I'm thankful you know that, but do you believe that? Amen. I'm thankful you know that, but do you live that liberty? I'm telling you, I know in times of my life that there was that ear that would listen a little bit to the enemy. Well, you better get right. It was me doing something as opposed to this wonderful word of God as my defense. Amen. And thank the Lord. And how immediate that healing is. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for that. But the law is faith. It's not deeds. Boasting in man's merit. It says right here, it's excluded. That means it's shut out. It's shut out. There was a sad event that happened with a few people in the meeting. They had come here for years and years and rejoiced in the bridal truth and been very thankful about the bride of Christ. Well, they met a man that told them that, oh yes, there's the bride, but you have to understand this. Yeah, you do start in grace and all of that, but the ones that'll be in the bride are the ones that really keep the Ten Commandments. And believe it or not, they left. And they were here for years. Returning again back to bondage. I believe Paul said something to them Galatians. Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Who hath bewitched you? I mean, that's a powerful statement. I mean, it's a witching, it's a witchcraft, it's demonic. That's a demonic thing. Self-righteousness is demonic. You bet it is. Matter of fact, it was so demonic, that's what Satan did. That angel of angels, he exalted himself above God. And that was it. But God knew. And that devil serves a wondrous purpose. Oh, yes, he does. But how often I hear Christians, even though it says that there's no boasting, there's no room for it, but yet I hear Christians brag about their deeds and their upright lives. And to me, it's sad. Is your boasting not the blood of the Lamb? Is your boasting not his mercy? I love that. I was starting to rub somebody, and I didn't even realize it, but I was thankful I did. Because of that, well, he's talking about mercy so much, must be doing something wrong. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm always doing something wrong, but mercy never stops. You best know it. Oh, what did he say? Oh, well, God help you. That's all I can say. But our boast is in the blood. Our glorying is in the Lamb and his finished work. I glory in the new man. I glory in Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's the one that did the work and finished the work. He's the one that's doing the work in me. And he'll this is the one that'll perform it. And I believe I'm described as a little lump of clay. But as my mother always tells me, oh, but you're a new lump, honey, a new lump. I love that. Praise the Lord. All right, verse 28. So here we go. Therefore, we conclude, see, we're getting right at it, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Isn't that beautiful? He didn't just go back there and say you're justified by faith. I mean, he really is emphasizing it again. In case you're still going to wrestle with this, here it is. We conclude. That means it's over. It's done. This is the verdict. Man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. This simple grace, this simple, all-powerful grace. And this is kind of where we're getting at tonight. This unlocks the masterpiece. This simple, all-powerful grace unlocks the masterpiece that is in every child of God. That masterpiece is there because the life of Christ is there. And you've been given all things. Nothing's been withheld. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Amen? Yes, you have. You've been born of God. He tells us in Galatians 4:1, we're little lords of all. That royalty, that king to grow up, it's all there. The masterpiece is all there. It's all there for what? For grace to perform it. It's all there for grace to perform. Not for you to perform, but for grace. And it's the knowledge of that grace that continues to grow that beautiful life for him up. That masterpiece that's in every child of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the masterpiece. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the masterpiece. To a perfect man. I love that. Remember we talk about the completeness of it. Grown up all by the knowledge and living all grace. Even grown up to the bride for the Lamb. The bride for the Lamb. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Justification by faith without deeds is truly the key to it all. Pleasing God by what? By believing his word. It's impossible to please God without faith. What is faith? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So it must be his word. It must be his son. This again is such a beautiful, simple, all-powerful message. I love Scofield's note on this. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's beautiful. Going on over to 29 and 30, we'll go ahead and read those verses. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Did you read that? Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Now, the reason I was talking about Schofield here is because I'm going to tell you for a long time, just because I know God just had me in a place, that established in the law, almost thinking, well, I got to go out and do. I've got to go establish something. And I was so thankful as a kid, I shouldn't say kid, but elder teenager, and I remember reading this. And it says, we establish the law, not by ourselves, but we establish the law by confessing our Savior's guilt. We establish the law by confessing his condemnation for us. See, I established the law by confessing what he was made for me, sin. That he took all my guilt, that he took all my sin. This is one of my favorite verses, and I quote it often, Isaiah 43:25. It's Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ forgave your sins, not for your sake, for his sake. That's why he wants you to confess his guilt. It pleased the Father to bruise him. You establish the law by understanding, knowing that it was because of the joy that was set before him he endured the cross. This is what he established, the way of grace, the way of his blood. He did it for his sake. It's just the power of that love, the plan of love of God to go through this for his sake. It gives a whole different dimension of the heart of our God. Amen. Amen. It is all for him. And all for him is all for me. Amen. See, in Christ, that oneness, all for him is all for me. Get that? We're one in him. All for him. He did it for his sake. He did it for my sake. Because we're one. It's just, it's a concept that's difficult for a natural mind, but for us who believe, it's beautiful. It helps me to embrace the grace of God. Mercy's complete, freely giving us all things, even the sharing of his throne jointly to reign with him, the faith and mercy to be his bride. He just gave it to me. Sure, I didn't deserve it, but he did it for him. He did it for him. And you know what? I believe and I take that grace. I take that grace. I thank the Lord and I weep and I cry for what he was made for me. I think about that moment on the cross. Obviously, they've made many movies about it. It just wrenches my heart and all. But yet, I also see the other side of it that even gives him more glory. I confess your guilt for me. I get it. You are made that for me. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm growing up just a little bit. But see, we could not establish the law one bit by works. Once again, you think of all these religions deceiving people. That's all they want to do. See, you can be controlled in guilt. Yes, you can. Guilt controls people like nothing else will. And yet he is the God that said, I have removed and taken all your guilt. He doesn't want guilt one iota governing your life. And you think of how many times us Christians with Jesus, guilt has been a motivator. I don't want guilt to be a motivator. I want love to be a motivator. this love, this perfect love, this great love, this empowering love. Now are we the sons of God. I hear him saying this to us. Now are we the sons. Move as sons. Walk as sons. Glory as the sons glory. Praise his name. But see, faith, this is wonderful too. Establishing the law is only by faith. But I love this. Faith demands the law. Yes, it does. Faith demands the law to stand in witness of the very righteousness of God that I've been made for him. It acknowledges who I am for him. Isn't it his life, Hagen? Amen, Gwen. It's his life. Amen. It's not you. It's Christ in you. Amen, it is. And we establish the law by more and more faith. So much the more the mercy that the new man stands, my, perfect, complete in all the fullness of him. Oh my, what glory. But there's even more here as we close this up tonight. We establish the law, I should say, there's more in we establish the law. We now have the vision, and I love this vision. There was a fellow named James in the Word of God. Can you imagine that? Even James, who I've heard people say, oh, well, he was a little bit legal. I just shake my head. And I think, oh, Lord. James said, the vision of the perfect law of liberty. How could a legal one see the perfect law of liberty? Can't. That's right. That's right. The perfection of whom he is made free is free indeed, justified freely, because he took my sin, he took my penalty, he took my death, he paid the ransom, and took the place for me. And I want you to understand this, and really understand this, brothers and sisters. This wasn't just a reset. It wasn't just that you were justified in the same life. You were justified because you got a new life. You got a new life. You're brand new. You have the new man that in twain, one new man in him, the body. It wasn't a reset. And that's why it does say in 1 John chapter 3 so powerfully that there's he that's born of God does not commit sin, neither can he sin. It's because that's who you are. That's the new man. I'll have people say to me often, well, then why do I sin? I like to correct them. Why do you fail? It's just like all things are lawful, but all things aren't expedient. Because I don't want to be governed by those things that aren't expedient. I don't want to sin reigning upon or manipulating my life. Because you know what that is? That's a lie. That's a lie. That's not who I am. That's not who you are in Christ. Yes. There's a real good fight of faith going on, isn't there? See why you need to know the Word of God? That's why the devil, when you know the Word of God and stand upon that grace, he won't bend you anymore. He won't blow you around and toss you to and fro like some, you know, oh my, here I am at this. I'm high today. I'm low tomorrow. All predicated upon what I think I'm doing or what I think I'm thinking of. Or devil can make you a head case. But the Lord said, oh, I haven't given you the spirit of fear. I believe something about love and power and a sound mind. Wow. That's pretty awesome. So, brothers and sisters, his new life lives in us. I now have that life that does not sin and cannot sin. And this is the launching pad, if you will, for all faith, complete confidence in his provision. This is the full overcomer heart required The full overcomer heart required in every layer of truth revealed complete confidence in the great grace plan of God. See, never default back to you. Never default back to you, to your strength, to your effort, to your goodness. As you go on in the Lord, it's going to be grace that takes you there. But don't get duped. Yeah, don't. Because you know what will happen? In his faithfulness, he afflicts you. You'll go on in the Lord and something sometimes happens. Sometimes you're out there on your rooftop and you look over and you see Bathsheba. And you didn't turn your head and say, oh, well, I better not go. And then he takes you through things in that failure. And you see grace and mercy that you never would have seen. The life of Christ in me. The life of Christ in me. Do you know the life of Christ in me deserves it all? Did you hear that? How many times have we said, oh, I just don't deserve a thing. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. The life of Christ in me deserves it all. Because he died for me to have that life. He died for me to have that life. Deserves to inherit it all. He gave me his life and it's mine. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful because all the provisions of the Savior, they're all inherited the same way. They're all inherited the same way. We know this. But do we believe this? By faith in his grace. By faith in his grace. By faith in his grace. Whether his provision for salvation or whether his provision for the bridegroom. It's believing in his grace. That's it. It's his grace all the way. We establish, as it says, we establish. We stand in the law by confessing his guilt. The marvelous grace. We establish the bridal truth by confessing his marvelous grace. It's the same all-sufficient grace always for all things. Completely confident, not in my doing or my keeping, but his love. Love to save me and love to marry me. Think of that. Love to save me and love to marry me. Love to save me and love to have me ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. And you think about it, really. Is one of those harder for God than the other? Nothing's hard for him. Nothing. Not even you. And we just like to think too much of ourselves. Oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, yes, son, I gave you my life. You deserve it. Oh, quit telling me that. Well, I want to hear. Yeah, you're going to hear the word of God. That's all I'm going to tell you, honey. Oh, but I like to be in my pity. And I like to think things romantically. You haven't even got to romance with God. Oh my goodness, when you find out how much he loves you and what he's done for you, I'm beginning to see it. Hallelujah. Now, all that is that's required is to believe. And let it be established by faith. Established, and I love this, I'll give this to you here too. Established means a pillar. It means a pillar. And exactly, you know, right back to the Church of Philadelphia. Those that are seen as those pillars in the house of the Lord. And we'll see if the Lord tarry next week. We'll go on chapter 4. Can you imagine? More grace. We're not going to revert back to debt. It's not going to happen. But it's going to be taken more grace and more grace and justified freely and more of that wonderful love to fulfill all the good pleasure of his will in us. See, this is his will. This is his will in us. We are his workmanship. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. We grow up into him in all things by speaking truth in love. And as I said earlier, perfection, as was told to the Galatians, is not by works of the flesh, but by the Spirit. But by the Spirit. But by the Spirit. And I'll tell you one thing I'll never forget about the Holy Ghost. He'll take the love of God and he'll shed it abroad in your heart. And I'll tell you, when that is shed abroad, when it's that geyser coming out of your heart, you get confident. You get bold in the lover of your soul. You quit getting down on you. That's all the enemy wants you to do, is to get down on you. And you don't even exist anymore. In a way, you know what I'm saying. I saw a few new things in here tonight. This week's been a good week. Didn't seem like that before, you know. I pray it encouraged you too, honeys. Love you very much. Let's stand, be dismissed.